Well, good afternoon, everyone. Today, brethren, I would like for us to look at a very thrilling and exciting subject. Some people are very difficult to get to know for various reasons. Some people like to be private, and that's fine. They don't reveal themselves, and we understand that. Other people are more outgoing, so we're all different. Some are unpredictable. You can't really know someone, and they're unpredictable. You kind of feel they do that and they don't do it, or they're just unpredictable. We sometimes think we know someone, only to be very surprised, maybe in a good way, or maybe in a way that you expect more from them, be it in the church or maybe even outside the church, doesn't matter. But people vary in that way, and we think we know them, and then we find out that, well, they're much nicer and they've got more qualities than we really thought or they had known. So people are unpredictable. But it's vital that we know God, and to really know God and to know Him better, that's important for each one of us, brethren, God's people. To know God, to really know God, and to know Him better. Because it's easy. It's not difficult to know God and know the God family. It's not hard. It's not something that God doesn't make Himself known. He does. They reveal themselves, the God family. They reveal themselves in the Bible. It's one way. God does it in many different ways, but we know that we can read His Word and we can know God. God is predictable, and we're grateful for that. And He certainly reveals Himself. He makes Himself known, as I said, in different ways. We know that we look at the creation and we can see the Creator God. We know the way that God can work in our lives. So there's a number of ways. So let's consider one way to know God better, and it's by His names and titles. By God's name, or His names, and the titles. You see, in Scripture, names have meanings. When we read a name, it has a meaning. Now, we all have names, but do they have meanings? Well, they could have meanings, but that's just by maybe accident. The reason I think most of us are called names is because they like the name. Or it's a family name. On my birth certificate is Robert Brian Bedloe. And the name Robert is there because it's a family name. My father's Robert, and my grandfather's Robert, and it probably goes back further. Robert. So they have Robert. But that can be confusing. So I'm known by my second name, Brian. Now, I did look up and see what Brian means, and it means strength, or strong. So I am strong spiritually, and that is correct. I don't know about physically. One time maybe I was strong. Well, they probably liked the name. But names, you know, do have meanings in the Bible. And in fact, people were given names and changed by God. So names were important. I mean, the first one that we read about and know about, not a person, but an angel, was Lucifer, changed to Satan. His character changed, and his name consequently changed. It didn't remain. Abraham was changed, as we know, to Abraham. And his wife also was changed to Sarah. Jacob to Israel, prevailer with God. And then Christ meets Simon, and he calls him Peter, or Cephas. And we know Saul was changed to Paul. They're the ones that I could come up with. There may be, sure there are others, but they were the ones that came to mind. And they were changed because of their character, and their names were changed. So God names Himself what He is, His nature, His character. So this afternoon I'd like to look at some of the names and titles of God and Jesus Christ in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. So let's go where Mr. Armstrong would always begin, most times, a lot of the time, in John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3. We will read here. These are the different names here, and they mean something. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Yeah, that means a lot. Word. We understand that. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we understand here, as we read, the Word is mentioned, God is mentioned, and the Father is mentioned. And of course in that, Christ is the Son. So the Word we see here, and we understand that as Logos, meaning spokesman, the Word. Revelatory thought. Two persons are mentioned here. And the Word God, we read in verse 1 and verse 2. And we see that, and Theos is the Greek word. So we're introduced here right at the beginning of John's Gospel to the Word, to God, and we can understand and we know that is explained to us. So then we go to Genesis chapter 1 and the first three verses of Genesis chapter 1. Is it in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And in verse 26, same chapter. And then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So we see this word God is mentioned here, and Mr. Armstrong has explained to us very, very clearly that that word is Elohim. Elohim. And it occurs something like 2,700 times in the Bible. We know that it is a plural word, and Mr. Armstrong has explained that to us, and we come to understand that. But God is the creator of all. He is the creator of all. He creates, He designs, He creates life and gives life. He's the great creator God. He creates and He designs. We can see design in God's creation. And He creates life and He gives life. Then we see in chapter 2 and verse 4, we're introduced here to another word. This is Genesis 2, verse 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day of the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So we see this word, Lord. Lord God. And that is spelt YHWH. And it means eternal, self-existent, or ever-living. So many times when we see that word Lord, we change it to eternal. And it means was, is, and will continue to be. And God was, is right now, and will continue. And this name means to us that God has always existed and will always exist to carry out His purpose, His plan, His promises, His covenant with His people, and indeed all of mankind. God doesn't make a promise and then He will not exist, but He will exist and has always existed and exists right now. So we can have that confidence, brethren, that the Yahweh, as we will pronounce it, Jehovah some, we, I think in the church, prefer the word Yahweh. And we don't know how to pronounce it really, but because there was no vowels in that, and it's YHWH, how do you pronounce that? So we make the attempt of saying Yahweh, and that's what we will use, and that's what we do to be able to convey a name and what we mean. But we usually use the word Lord, or maybe eternal, which would be better. So God always exists. He was, is, and will continue to be. There is another word that we will see is El, just El. That is God too. It is Elohim, but is Elohim in all strength and power. All strength and power. God omnipotent, having all power and who knows all and sees all. This is the God that we worship. These names mean something. And they are powerful, really, because God knows everything. And he knows all our thoughts. He knows us really well. And maybe he is learning as he goes along, too, and how we react in given situations that maybe we've never been in before. But God sees all, knows all. And that is powerful. It is power in that name. So we'll see this will come up here, where it was mentioned and says, and you can write down El Shaddai, ElShaddai, El Shaddai. And that's mentioned here in Genesis chapter 17, this word here. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. Genesis 17 and verse 1. Then Abraham was 99 years old, and the Yahweh, the Eternal, appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. So that Almighty God is El Shaddai. Yes, Almighty God, or Almighty Blesser, are all bountiful. This name here is not to do with creation. You know what God is that, but it's not creation, or not having creative power, but God's power to supply all the needs of his people. It's the Almighty God to provide for his people and supply the needs for his people. And the Apostle Paul understood that when he was writing to the church at Philippi. He says, God can provide all our needs, paraphrasing. And Paul knew that. So God provides for his people. He provided for his people Israel, physical Israel, and he provides for spiritual Israel today, God's church. And we know that, brethren, God has provided for his church down through time. And for our years in the church, God provided. Mr. Armstrong certainly knew that. If God wanted, God will provide. And we hear Mr. Bryce constantly will say that to us. God will provide if this is what God wants. We are doing our part, and we have a part, and God uses us. But he will provide, and does provide. And so this word here, Almighty God, is God's power to supply all the needs of his people. Okay, let's consider another word. Eloah, E-L-O-A-H. E-L-O-A-H. It means the living God. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 17. Deuteronomy 32, verse 17, and we'll see this. Deuteronomy 32, and verse 17. It says, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. That is Eloah. And to gods they did not know, to new gods, new rivals, that your fathers did not fear. So this means a living God who is to be worshipped. A living God who is to be worshipped. Because the true God is not a false God or a God of idols. And this is what is being said here. That people worship the creation. That's what they were doing. But this God here that's mentioned is the one, the living God, and he is to be worshipped. The others were dead. Those idols that they made, they were dead. They didn't do anything. But the one that was living and alive was God. We see that mentioned there in that word. So let's look then at the word Yahweh, and it comes up, I think, 8 times. Different words, Yahweh. And the first one I have is Yahweh Rophika. R-O-P-H-E-K-A. R-O-P-H-E-K-A. Rophika. I know my pronunciations probably will be a little off on some of these. We will do the best we can, or I will do the best I can. And that means the eternal that heals you. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. We see where it does appear here. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Read right at the very end of the verse. It says, I am the eternal who heals you. And the word Rophika is in there, the eternal that heals. So this God here, the one that healed Israel, the one who became Jesus Christ, is our healer today. And God does heal. God does heal. And Christ was willing to be beaten and through his stripes that we can be healed and our physical sins forgiven. And we can be healed through that. So that is one of God's names. Healer God. The great healer God. The next one I have is Yahweh Girah. G-I-R-A-R, if you like. Yahweh, spelt another way, Y-I-R-E-H. Y-I-R-E-H. We see this mentioned in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, where it does appear. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. And in my margin, it refers to and spells Y-I-R-E-H, or sometimes could be pronounced Girah. The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the eternal it shall be provided. So this means here the eternal will provide. God will provide for his church and his work. He is a provider God. He provides. He makes things possible by providing. And he will provide, and he did, for ancient Israel. He looked after them. He provided their needs and fed them in the wilderness. And he looks after his church today. Yahweh Girah. Next one we can look at is Yahweh Zidkenu. Z-I-D-K-E-N-U. Z-I-D-K-E-N-U. Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, I think that's how we do spell it. Yahweh Zidkenu. That's mentioned here, in this name here, in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 6. 23 and verse 6 of Jeremiah. And it says, in this day, this is Jeremiah 23, verse 6, in this day Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called. It says, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. So that's the eternal Zidkenu. And we'll also see in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 16. It's just repeated again, 33, verse 16. Jeremiah 33, verse 16, it says, in those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely, and this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness, or the eternal our righteousness. So we see there that the eternal is our righteousness, and he is the one who helps us obey. God helps us to obey him. We have our part, and we know that, but he helps us to obey him through the power of his Holy Spirit. And he is our righteousness, if you like. He is the God of our righteousness. And we do need that help. We constantly need the help from God to obey him. Please help me. Help me to obey, help me to serve, help me to do the things that you require of us. And God has many things that he requires of us. And I often think that, does God ask the impossible? No, he does not. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to ask this, but I don't think it's possible, really, but I'll ask. Now, for us, yes, but with God's help, it can be done, and there's some difficult things to do. You know, love your enemy? Ooh, well, you know, that's tough. And many other things that are hard. But God is saying, you can do it with my help. It's not the impossible. Another one is Yahweh Nissi, or Nisi. Yahweh Nissi, N-I-S-S-I. And let's just see the scripture, and that is Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15. Exodus 17 and verse 15. And Moses built an altar, and he called its name, The Lord is my banner. And it's Yahweh Nissi. So the Lord is my banner. So the God who fights for us, brethren, protects his church from Satan and his demons. God is our banner, if you like. He protects us. He looks after us. He helps us. And he will fight our battles. He will fight for us. Again, Mr. Armstrong often said that he would let God fight his battles. People who fought would fight Mr. Armstrong, and he had enemies. He said, God will take care of them. Christ is head of the church. He will deal with them. And if you like, my banner. Let's go on then and consider another one. Is Yahweh Mekadishkim. M-E-K-A-D-D-I-S-H-K-E-M. M-E-K-A-D-D-I-S-H-K-E-M. And we see where this comes up in Scripture. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Eternal who sanctifies them. So that means here that the Eternal that sanctifies you. Sanctify. God who sanctifies. He sets apart for holy use, and that's what it means. God is the one who sanctifies us, and only God can sanctify, set apart. Not human beings, but God. And that is part of his character. He does that. He sets apart certain individuals that he chooses for a purpose. And we understand the great purpose that God has for each one of us. And we can read about those that he called for a purpose. He set them apart. I am the God who sanctifies them. So he is the God that sanctifies. He sets apart for holy use. And that's part of God's character. Another one, Yahweh, is Yahweh Shammah, S-H-A-M-M-A-H. S-H-A-M-M-A-H. Ezekiel chapter 48. Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse 35. 48, verse 35. It says, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be called The Lord is There. And that there is Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is there. So brethren, God is there. God is present. His presence were there. God puts his presence in that city. He puts his presence with us. We come together. God is here through his Holy Spirit guiding us. So God is there. The eternal God is there or here. Another one is Yahweh Shalom. And Judges chapter 6 verse 24. We're just picking one scripture on each one of these to look at. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 24. Judges 6, verse 24. So Gideon built an altar there to the Eternal and called it the Lord Shalom, or if you like, the Eternal. And that means the Lord is peace. The Eternal is peace. God is peace. We heard about that at the feast. God is peace. So that's seven, where we've seen and picked out in Scripture the names of God, and God is peace. And God's peace, as we heard, transcends all peace that we can think of. It goes way beyond human understanding and human peace, because there's no human nature in God as we understand it like we are. And so the peace that the Father has in Jesus Christ and the peace that's there in heaven is way beyond our comprehension of peace. And that is part of God's character. So we've seen seven. One more to look at. And that is, if we could turn to Psalm 23. 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm, verse 1. And we'll read the whole psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the word shepherd there is roi, R-O-I. And it means the eternal, my shepherd. And God watches over his sheep. He is a shepherd. And he watches over his sheep, his flock, and he gives his life for the sheep, his people. That's God's church. And David understood that for David, the Lord is my shepherd. He watches over me. He takes care of me. He provides a way out of dangers. He looks after me. And we know too, from the New Testament, that Christ is the good shepherd, as we will see. But we see here, this one here, and this is the eighth one that we've looked at. So let's just go through this psalm, and we'll pick out points that we have covered as far as God's character is concerned, and we will look at that. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd," Roy, he looks after, "I shall not want," or "I will not lack." We've seen that God is a provider God. He looks after. "He makes me lie down in green pastures beside the still waters." That's peace. Great peace there. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures," or pastures of tender grass, "and he leads me beside the still waters." Still waters, wonderful, peaceful. And it's nice. Not too far from, well, it's about 40 minutes drive. There is a well-known area that many visitors come to, and this meeting of two waters called the Avonmore and the Avonbeg, and two rivers come together. And it inspired the poet, whose name has now escaped me, but I may think of it. But he wrote a poem, well-known poem, about the Vale of Avoca and the meetings of these waters, and he was inspired. And we've been there a number of times, and if you ever come to Ireland, we'll take you there, and you can sit down. You see the two rivers, and you hear the water, and it's peaceful, and it's beautiful, and it's quiet. And you can just pause and meditate, reflect, just for a few minutes, even longer. But it's very, very nice. And it inspired this poem that is well known. And it's quiet. And this is what we see here, that this peace here, this shalom that David is talking about here in verse 2. And then it says, "He restores my soul." Well, it could be he restores my health. Healer. Rafika. The healer God. "He leads me in the paths of righteousness." Right? Zipkinya. Meaning righteousness, as we saw. God is our righteousness. He helps us. He supports us. He is there for his name's sake. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You are with me. The eternal is there. The eternal is there. He knew that. Shammah. God is there. He is with me. He is looking after me. And we know the same, brethren. God is with us. He is protecting us through his angels, yes, using those messengers, those servants in that way to carry out God's will on this earth. But he is there, for you are with me. "And your rod and your staff, they comfort me." It says, "And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." You will look after me. You are my banner. You will fight for me. David knew that he would get the support. God is there. Be protecting. And fight for us. And God will fight for us, brethren, as we look to him and to fight our battles. And he certainly did it for David. And anoint my head with oil. Anoint my head with oil. The eternal that sanctifies. Again, we saw that. God's names. He sanctifies. He sets apart. And we know part of that is sometimes anointing. You anoint someone. But you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and will dwell in the house of the Lord or the Eternal forever, as long as I live. And indeed, it's for all eternity too. David knew that. So we've seen there, right in this wonderful psalm that so many people get great strength from and help, and we can too, expresses God's great character. And there's so many references that we could look at of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. We've been in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ. And we can know that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. He looks after, cares for his sheep, the church. Christ said that he was the Good Shepherd. The Apostle Paul says he was the Great Shepherd. And the Apostle Peter goes and he says that he is the Chief Shepherd. We'll turn to that one in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And I would say the reason that the Apostle Peter says Chief Shepherd, that he's talking about shepherds before that. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. But we see that he is talking about taking care of the sheep and that the ministry are shepherds. But then he says in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Oh, it will be there for all eternity. That crown of authority and love. And there will be authority, government. But there Christ is called the chief shepherd by Peter. There are some 124 names and titles referring to Jesus Christ in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And there are so many. Because names have meanings, you see, as we do know. There's authority in a name. Authority in a name. If you go to Acts chapter 4, we'll just see that and where it's mentioned in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 7 we can just read. I think these scriptures were read during the feast. Verse 7. Of Acts chapter 4. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked the apostles, and maybe Peter and John, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? And what authority? What name? This name is important, because that gave authority. And in verse 10, and let it be known to all, that the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands there before you whole. And then we just see verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name. It doesn't say Christ, it says name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Of course, we know that is talking about Jesus Christ. But its name, by that name, and that name had power, that name had meaning. We know that by the name of such and such you do that. Years ago they'd say by the name of the king. Just the king, title. It wasn't any particular king, you know, king. And that was enough. I command you to do so and so. That was it, by the name. Of course the names that we do have and we would know is the one that we use so much is Jesus. And in the Hebrew is Joshua, and it means Savior. We know that is so important for us. He is our Savior. He is our Savior. And of course, the next common and one is Christ, or Christos. It means the same as the Hebrew word Messiah. Both mean anointed and refers to the Anointed One. The Anointed One, the King. the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, that we heard at the feast. And that is used. And then the word Lord, Kurios, or K-U-R-I-O-S, the Greek, means supreme in authority. Supreme in authority. We would sort of know it as master, our boss. He's the boss. We don't commonly see it in that way, but just to explain it, it's supreme in authority, right at the very top, and the word Lord is there. So, we do find in Scripture the Lord Jesus Christ, and meaning Master, Savior, and Anointed One, if you like, in that way. That's what it stands for. It stands for that. So there are many, say, references that are made to Christ. We'll go through what time remains and look at them. No particular order or anything I have down here, but the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. And John chapter 1. We see Christ, and of course there's so many, but we could just look at some here. In John chapter 1, verse 29, and we just drop down to 36, 29 first of all. And the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Christ was the Lamb. He was the one without blemish, as it had to be, and he represented it. And we know when we go back to keep the Passover, that Christ represents the Lamb was slain for the forgiveness of sin and to save, as it did Israel, by carrying out the instructions that they did. And he is now the Lamb of God, the one that was sacrificed for each one of us. Verse 36. And looking at Jesus walking, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. Repeats that. Jesus Christ. So he is our Savior, and he was willing to give of his life. And he is the Lamb of God. He also said that I am the light of the world. The light of the world. In John 8, verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. All very, very important in understanding the Father and Jesus Christ. I know that we've looked at many scriptures there that seem to all refer to Jesus Christ, the God of the Old Testament and Jesus Christ. But you know, we understand that when we see Christ's character, we see the Father. We see the Father, we see Christ. You know, when I think it was Philip, was it, asked Christ, he says, Show me the Father. And Christ's answer to Philip was, You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I reflect. I often wondered at Philip, what does he look like? Or what was his character? Christ made it real simple for Philip. If he'd have said, Well, I'm going to try and explain this to you. But he made it so simple. He said, You've seen me, I reflect the Father. We're all one. And so we understand that principle. In John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke and said to them, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And the Bible talks a lot about darkness and light. And Christ is the light of the world. And through it that we can see spiritually and understand spiritually. Christ said, I am the door. I am the door, in John chapter 10, verse 7 to 9. John chapter 10, verse 7. And Jesus said to them, Again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The sheep hear, know the voice. We understand that. I think I've understood it more clearly in the last, 20 years. About, I don't understand that voice. It's alien. It's not the voice that I want to follow. And we reject that. And so we understand that very, very much about what we follow, what we hear. This is all those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And we rejected false knowledge. The voice was strange. It was the voice of a stranger. It says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, will be saved. And we'll go in and out and find pasture. That's the way it's done. Like sheep, pasture, good grass, good place to grow and develop. as a sheep will do when eating good grass, good pasture, and enter by me. It is true that way and only that way, as we saw in Acts chapter 4. Christ is that way, the gate, the entrance. He is also the captain of our salvation. Christ fights for us. He is our shield. As David said many times, a shield, you know, an important instrument to have to ward off maybe arrows or other swords or other things that would protect a soldier. And he says, Christ is my shield. And he fights for us. He is our Redeemer. He redeems us. He is our High Priest, so important. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, and that's what it is, a heavenly calling comes from God, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. We know that an apostle, Christ, was an apostle. We sometimes forget that. You know, if you were asked how many apostles, well, we may be not too certain, but we can have a very good attempt, and we'd list them all, and we'd go down them as best we could, and we would probably leave Christ out. But he is mentioned as our apostle and high priest. He's our high priest. And Jesus was and is our merciful, compassionate high priest who is willing to give his life on the stake. He died for us. And as our high priest, Christ intercedes for us. And we know there are scriptures that show that very, very clearly. We go to the Father. We talk to our Father in heaven. Finish the prayer and we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. And he mediates for us. He intercedes for us. Christ, who was on this earth, he lived as a human being, and he knows what it's like to be human. He's also referred to as the bread of life, the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse 47 to 51. Some of these we will just make reference to. Christ is also the head of the church. He is head. That's a title. He is head. Colossians 1, verse 18. Just turn there and read that. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. It says, and he that is speaking of Christ is head of the body, the church. Plain. He is head. No man is or never will be head of the church. That is Jesus Christ. And we don't put any human being as head of the church. We talk about maybe a physical head of the church. But really, the head of the church is Jesus Christ, and he guides and directs his church. And we have that confidence. Another reference here, that Christ is called a potentate. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse 15. We just break right in here in this, but which he will manifest in his own time, and who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. A potentate is a mighty prince or ruler. That's what it means. Sovereign ruler. And that, of course, fits right in with. And Paul knew that. He knew that he was coming back as King of Kings, and he was going to return in that way. Christ said also that I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Again, a title, if you like, that it was through Christ, that it was through him, and everything that we would be resurrected. And then another name here is John 8, verse 58. John 8, verse 58. John chapter 8, verse 58. And Jesus said to them, to the Jews, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He was called I am. I am. And we know that is when he met Moses. He said, I am. And you can see that in Exodus chapter 3, where it is mentioned, but that's one of the names, I Am. He's also referred to as the bridegroom. In Matthew 9, verse 15, bridegroom. He's going to come, and that was mentioned at the feast. Christ is coming again to marry the church, and he is the bridegroom. What a tremendous event that will be. He also says that I am the true vine. Turn there to John chapter 15. We're in John chapter 15. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. The true vine. That's so important for us, brethren. We have to be close to the vine, part of the vine. And it says in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And we know that we are to bear fruit in our lives. How very, very important. So we are part of the vine, and through it that we will bear fruit. Try and bear fruit and not be part of the vine. Doesn't make any sense. No sense. Another one that Christ is referred to is Rabbi, and that is an official title or honor. We can see that mentioned when Nicodemus here in John chapter 3 goes to Christ quietly, secretly, and he says in verse 2 of John chapter 3, he says, this man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, that no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Acknowledging that Christ was a rabbi. And that is a official title of honor. Master, teacher. But I think it's more than just teacher. I think it is a great honor and a position of respect that was given to Christ, and he was referred to as that. Christ also is referred to as a feeder. A feeder, he feeds. And as we go into the Old Testament, of course, there's many, many scriptures that we could turn to in the Old Testament talking about future Christ. But we'll just look at this one in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. And speaking of Christ, it says, and he will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. That's verse 11. So he will feed his sheep. Christ referred to as a feeder. He will feed, and he looks after. So brethren, we could look at many, many other names. We've gone through only just a few of them, and there are many, many more. But through the names and titles of God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Savior, we can know them better reading their word that we have. So let us all grow in honoring and showing reverence to God's great name. We respect God's name. We talk about it in the right way, use it in the right way, and know God through his great name. For it represents his creative power, his wisdom, his faithfulness, his love, his kindness, his patience, his infinite mercy, his support and help. And it represents the character and office of the great God who controls this entire universe. That's the loving God we worship and obey.